Hello and welcome to Mary Live. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli. My friends in Jesus and Mary, I want to speak to you about a subject I think is of extreme importance, the theme of the Pope and the Eucharist. And I want to begin with the profound, sublime teachings of a great doctor of the Church, St. Catherine of Siena. St. Catherine of Siena called the Vicar of Christ, called the office of the papacy, my sweet Jesus on earth. She literally said that the office of the papacy is like a sacrament of Jesus. And that's why we must always be obedient to that which the Holy Father speaks on areas of faith and morals. Now, it is telling and gives an important context that St. Catherine of Siena, first of all, was under a pope, Pope Innocent the 11th, of which she did not agree with every detail of decision, especially the fact that he was in Avignon. He was in France. And St. Catherine herself was instrumental in having the Pope decide to return to Rome, to the See of Peter. So it doesn't mean that one has to agree on every practical decision, but it means when it comes to faith and morals, and as we'll see, especially when it comes to the Eucharist, we obey. We obey the Vicar of Christ. It's also telling that St. Catherine of Siena was Doctor of the Church during the time historically of what is called the Western Schism. This was a time when two men claimed to be Pope. Of course, there can only be one Vicar of Christ. And St. Catherine was using all of her spiritual and even ecclesial influence to have people stay faithful to the Pope who at that time who succeeded Innocent the 11th was Adrian the 6th. So St. Catherine understands distinctions, and she understands that in matters of faith and morals, you always stay with the Vicar of Christ, my sweet Jesus on earth. Now I want to segue into discussing that which is a hot subject on many blogs, and it is the forward speculation of the potential of Eucharistic disciplines which may be coming our way in light of synods or other such things. I want to anchor us to basic foundations of what it means to be Catholic. So, number one, as St. Catherine tells us, but it's far more than Catherine, it's what it constitutes to be Catholic. We never leave the Vicar of Christ. We are always obedient to the Vicar of Christ in the area of faith and morals. Again, Catherine didn't agree with the Pope's geography. You might not agree what the Pope says about vaccines. That's not an issue. What's at issue is that you're staying on the bark of Peter. You're staying in the ark of salvation, as the fathers talk about it. You're staying in the Church. And that's what's so critically important. Now, any possible future Eucharistic discipline would have to be approved by the Vicar of Christ. Therein lies your peace, or should lie in your peace. The Holy Spirit guides the Church, in particular the office of the Vicar of Christ, in matters of faith and morals. It has for over 2,000 years. The Spirit's not going to fail us now. And remember, it's the office of the Pope. These are not popularity contests. These are not personality cults. This is the Vicar of Christ on earth, which protects the unity of the Church. Now, I want to go to Scripture because there is right reference to proper respect for our Eucharistic Jesus and even the reality of possible unworthy reception of Jesus. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 24 and following. It's verse 27 that I want to highlight, but let's get the context. So he's talking about the institution of the Eucharist, St. Paul. And he says, and this starts in verse 23 even, quote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the chalice after supper, saying, "This chalice is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the chalice, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now here's verse 27. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." St. Paul goes on, "Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So what does St. Paul tell us from Scripture regarding the worthy reception of the Eucharist? Number one, unworthy reception is certainly possible. Number two, every person is to discern themselves, to examine their own heart for whether, in fact, they are properly prepared. And number three, it's very clear that Jesus directly protects his real presence by what St. Paul makes reference to, people getting ill and even dying. This is a reference, and good biblical commentary tells us that St. Paul was making reference to people who did not receive Jesus worthily and became either ill or, in some cases, even died. So it means our Lord Jesus knows how to protect himself in this most sublime of all sacraments. And I want to give you an example. Many of you are not aware, or perhaps don't remember, that in the early 1950s, there were significant changes in Eucharistic discipline regarding fasting. What were the changes? Well, at the beginning of 1950, you had to fast from midnight the night before until you received Jesus in the Eucharist, and you couldn't even have water. Well, then later, a few years later, there was the dispensation to have water. And then later in the 50s, and then which led on to the 60s, you had a change in the discipline regarding the Eucharist in terms of spiritual preparation. And that change, as most of us know now, is that you fast an hour before you receive. Now, why did Pius XII make these changes? Because people weren't coming to the Eucharist. The altars were empty. And Pius XII knows that Jesus in the Eucharist is both the sanctifier in the Spirit, he's the healer, and he's the lover. And Jesus wants people to receive those graces. So Pius XII, as Pope in his office, lightened, if you would, relaxed the fasting practice. There were certainly some at the time who thought, this is a little bit liberal, this is a little bit progressive, that he's lightening up. I mean, if people really want the Eucharist, they should be diligent and fast from midnight the night before until Mass. But the Spirit led the Pope to lighten it so that people could receive. The point here is, let's trust the Vicar of Christ in his final decision. Not things that come from either blogs or interviews or evaluations. In the final decision of Pope Francis regarding the Eucharist, let us be imitators of St. Catherine, and let's obey. And under no conditions, my friend, I say this truly from my heart, under no conditions even ponder leaving the Church of Jesus Christ, which only has one vicar. There's only one church, and he only has one vicar. And it is now Pope Francis. Don't let anything or anyone pull you away from the Vicar of Christ that maintains the reality of the Catholic Church. And I'm going to close by mentioning Our Lady herself. Now, Our Lady had to obey St. Peter, who was the first vicar of Christ, right? He's the first pope. Was Our Lady A, holier, B, more wise, C, more charitable? Go on, the list is endless of how Our Lady was more than Peter. But she obeyed. She obeyed the vicar of Christ like she obeyed her divine son. That has to be our model. And truly, the more we can have people benefit from the power of God made man, made Eucharist, certainly in areas like Eucharist adoration, right? Everyone could go to Eucharistic adoration and get sunburned by Jesus Christ, who's the S-O-N son, who brings us a sanctification we can't get in any other way. So I'm simply saying, ultimately, we obey the vicar of Christ, trusting the Spirit to guide him in faith, and that keeps us one as members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Sadly, history knows of other examples of people who tried to make up another church. That's something between them and Jesus. Don't let it be something between Jesus and you. Stay on the bark of Peter. Stay true to the Holy Father and benefit as fully as he allows the great graces of our Eucharistic Lord. Let's end by praying to Our Lady, who's both Mother of the Church and Mediatrix of all graces, both for the Holy Father, for upcoming synod, and for the faithful and bishops and priests throughout the world to be always one with the Vicar of Christ, our sweet Jesus on earth, as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, Mediatrix of all graces, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for being with us with Mary Live. God bless you all.